KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have sunny skies, 68 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy here today, high around 90. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Give them a call at 641-745-5253. Voters across Iowa will head to the polls today to cast their ballots for the primary election, which determines who moves on to the November general election. In Cass County, there are two races on the Republican ballot to watch, Board of Supervisors in Districts 2 and 3. Pat McCurdy and Mark O'Brien are running in District 2. Dana Halder, John Hartkoff, and Linda Tevelman are running in District 3. All other county offices are uncontested, and there are no Democrats on the ballot. In Adams County, Republicans Doug Burt and Marty Olive are running for the Board of Supervisors in District 1. Republican Scott Aiken and Lori Greenlee are running in District 3, along with Democrats Tony Mullen and Judith Butcher. There are no contested races in Shelby County. In Pottawatomie County, eight candidates are running for the County Board of Supervisors. Each party may advance three to the general election. They include Republicans Scott Belt, Lynn Groby, Adam Hauser, Justin Schultz, and Mary Stanley, and Democrats Glenn Hurst, Francis Parr, and Marshall Pilger. In Adair County, we'll be watching to see which of the two Republican candidates for county treasurer move on to November. The candidates include Brenda L. Wallace and Kim Crosswhite Perkins. In Guthrie County, Republicans J.D. Custer and Dana Tews are running for the Board of Supervisors in District 4. Republicans Everett Grasty, Scott Colmer, Randy Sparks, Joel Hester, and Democrat Kevin Wirt are running for the board in District 3. And in District 2, the Republican candidates are Rick Ness and Clifford Carney. In Montgomery County, Republicans Tara Hughes and Jackie Porter are vying for the county treasurer's job, and Republicans Rudy Kinyard and Roger Wagner are running for the Board of Supervisors in District 1. In Audubon County, Republicans Dwayne Deist, Gene Hinners, and Gary Van Arnam are all hoping to move on to November in the Board of Supervisors race. The polls are now open until 9 o'clock this evening for the polling sites in Cass County. You can see the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Or if you have any questions about where to vote, of what district or ward you're in, contact your county auditor's office. On this primary day, Iowa's new voter verification law is still in what Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate calls the soft rollout phase. But Pate says voters at nearly 2,000 precincts around the state will be asked to show a form of state-sanctioned identification.
A driver's license or a voter ID card with their PIN number on it, or a non-operator's license that they get from the driver's station, or a military ID. Any of those would work, including a passport.
Voters who do not bring any of those approved forms of ID with them will be able to sign a document declaring they are who they say they are, and their ballots will be counted. Starting in January of 2019, though, Iowa voters who do not have an ID at their polling place will cast a provisional ballot and will be required to follow up with a visit to their county auditor's office to show an ID so their ballot may be counted. 92 of Iowa's 99 counties will be able to scan the digital strip on a driver's license or voter ID to check voters in today. However, in Polk, Linn, and five other counties, poll workers will have to manually find a number on the ID to check the voter registration rolls to see if there's an eligible voter.
They have not updated their technology.
Pate isn't expecting voters will have to wait long to cast their ballots today.
It's a lot faster than the old school where you used to have a list in front of you and it'd have to, you know, go through pages and look for your name on it and make sure it's the right, you know, John Smith or Paul Pate. So if there's a line, I would say it's going to be because it's just a higher voter turnout. And I would say if I were an auditor, I would anticipate higher volume in your more predominant Democrat precincts.
That's because Democrats have a statewide race for governor in their primary. There's already been a record-setting number of requests for absentee ballots from those who voted early. Those absentee ballots had to be postmarked by yesterday in order to be counted today. Pate says county auditors started counting absentee ballots at any time today.
And when the poll workers do it, it's just like the other polls. There's a Democrat and a Republican poll worker working together. That way it's check process.
The first votes to be reported this evening after the polls close are likely the tally of those absentee or early votes from each precinct. There are three primaries today, one for Democrats, one for Republicans, and one for Libertarians. Libertarians reached official party status in 2016 when their presidential candidate got at least 2% of the vote in Iowa. There are a dozen Libertarians running for office and two Libertarians running for governor. Pate says for Libertarians, today's primary is the starting block for the party.
You know, the unknown quantity. want to be in the sense that we haven't had a third party in some time. They have a message. They're trying to offer voters a reason to look at them. The real test will come in the fall.
To retain official party status, the nominee Libertarians pick to run for governor on the November ballot must get at least 2% of the vote. As of June 1st, 10,000 Iowans had registered as Libertarian voters. Elsewhere in Southwest Iowa news, officials with CERWA on Monday issued an update on the status of the repairs to the filtration system at the 12-mile treatment plant near Creston. The problems at the plant began last week when resulted in a boil order and then a drinking water warning. To help with the drinking water situation, Hy-Vee Incorporated announced Monday that they were donating nearly 20,000 gallons of bottled water to southern Iowa communities impacted by an ongoing boil advisory and drinking water warning. The bottled water was being made available during certain hours at the Creston, Bedford, and Mount Air Hy-Vee stores. Residents in the Southern Iowa Rural Water Association, or CERWA, area are able to pick up either two 24-packs of bottled water or 2-gallon jugs or a combination of one 24-pack and 1-gallon jug for free while supplies last. Local volunteers assisted in distributing the water in the Hy-Vee store parking lots. Now, with regard to the treatment plant, the bottom line is that they need two new filtration train membranes at the plant, but there are hurdles to overcome before they arrive and can be installed. One of the train membranes is in Canada and is 1/4 of the treatment plant capacity. It takes 2 days to get EPA approval to import the membranes into the U.S., and then the truck will arrive Thursday night or Friday morning. The second set of membranes is scheduled to arrive in Canada today. Following the same procedures as above, the second set of membranes should arrive in Iowa about 24 hours behind the first set of membranes. Officials say they need both sets of membranes before the needed water for the city of Creston and CERWA customers can be produced. It's hoped both of the new membranes trains online and producing water sometime early Saturday or early Sunday morning. Both the City of Creston Water Works and CERWA will then begin flushing the flushing process to change out the water in the distribution system. Each membrane train is capable of 2,000 gallons per minute or 4,000 gallons per minute combined maximum. Officials say they hope to start the flushing process late Saturday or early Sunday. And again, the three Creston water towers will then need to be drained and refilled with newly treated water. Creston will flush their water distribution system while the new water is filling CERWA's large distribution mains. Fluoride is being used to track the treated water through the distribution mains. And once the newly treated water is dispersed, coliform bacteria samples will be taken to make sure the water is potable or drinkable. And once the tests are passed, then the process can begin to release the specified customers from the drinking water advisory. As cities get removed from the advisory, CERWA and CCWW, that's the Creston Water Works, ask that customers be considerate and only use necessary water so that all the extra water can be used to flush and get water to the remaining cities who may still be under a drinking water advisory. There should be no lawn watering, car washing, unnecessary water usage performed until all customers have been removed from the drinking water advisory. Officials say they're currently checking into the availability of the third and fourth set of membrane trains. The membranes remain in Hungary and are shipped to a distribution center in Canada, where they are then shipped to the USA under normal circumstances. If you're a City of Creston Waterworks customer, you should contact them to be added to their list for future notifications at 641-782-5817. If you're a CERWA customer, you can contact that office at 641-782-5744. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.